You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Peter Rosenberg!
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
Hey. Ray Rowe.
It's brought to you tonight by Security Dodge. Go see Michelle Scalise. And
come get some.
Yeah.
I'd like to start off this big ENN, if I can, by saying good evening to my friend Michael.
Steelers stink.
And to Michael.
You and Peter are now lovebirds.
And to Don.
Looking old and ugly ages well.
And to Don.
He was Pete's manager for a couple years.
Missed the point.
Good evening to myself.
Hold on.
All right. Well, we mentioned Pete Alonso earlier. Let's hear from Pete Alonso on the Mets edition of J.D. Martinez.
We're always trying to win games. I mean, we're always competing. We're always trying to win. We're always going for it. So that's, I mean, it's a huge message to the guys in the clubhouse, and I'm really excited to get him here. And, I mean, again, I'm stoked. I mean, I got a chance to talk with him last year in Seattle. I mean, the guy is just, like, his IQ at the dish is through the roof. I mean, he's one of those guys that I consider to be like a hitting savant, and not only his talent and how he's going to produce on the field, but I think what he brings for preparedness, how he attacks opposing pitchers. I think he's going to impact from a information standpoint and kind of just impacting guys, just getting a look on inside at how he tries to dissect the attack plan and tries to beat the guy on the mound. So, I mean, he prepares well. He's a worker. I know that. I've seen it just for a couple days, but I know that guys played with him. They speak nothing, but they have nothing but high regard for him. So I'm really excited.
Now, I was in that Met clubhouse before the game, Don. They were smiling ear to ear to players because, I mean, for the players, sending a message, we're not packing it in. We're not just phoning in the year. And the Mets got a great deal. I mean, a great deal. I think they're paying him $2.5 million.
Yeah.
And then some, you know, deferred payments with Bobby Bonilla. So, I mean, this contract's only costing them $5 million with the $110 million, 110% tax. So, this is a great deal for them.
It's a good baseball signing. He really rounds out that lineup. Listen, a lot of things have to break their way. Alvarez has to continue to grow. Marte has to stay healthy. But you look on the surface, if everybody plays to the back of their baseball card, this is a nice lineup. It really is a nice lineup. I really expect big things from Alonso. And then you have Martinez obviously trying to see what he can do to get another contract. And this could be a fun offensive year. I don't know if they're going to pitch and their bullpen outside of Diaz. There's a lot of holes. There's no question. But offensively, they should score some runs.
I will tell you this, and I always add this before I talk about him. I'm a fan of Boris. This was not a good year for him. Chapman signed for way under what they thought he was going to sign. A two-time Cy Young Award winner essentially signed a two-year deal with a one-year opt-out. Jordan Montgomery's still out of work. And J.D. Martinez got almost nothing from the Mets. Now, there's a story out there that he was offered $13 million from the Giants. And he turned it down because he doesn't like the way the ballpark plays, which to me is amazing. But, I mean, Citi Field's not exactly a bandbox, Don.
I have something. I'm sorry, guys.
No, go ahead.
Some news here. A statement from Major League Baseball. Interested?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me a breaking news sounder. Why not? Here we go. Major League Baseball's statement. Major League Baseball has been gathering information since we learned about the allegations involving Shohei Ohtani and Ippe Mitsuari from the news media. Earlier today, our Department of Investigations, the DOI, began their formal process investigating the matter.
Good. good for them. I applaud them. It's one of the reasons I jumped them yesterday. I mean, I couldn't believe that, you know, we're good. They can't have their head in the sand on this. Now, I'm going to really look at what the FBI comes out with. I mean, because I hate to say this. Does Major League Baseball really want to find out? Do they really want to bring down Shohei Ohtani?
Okay, you don't want to. No, this is not ideal. But you also don't want to look the other way either. And then have it that you sat on it and then the FBI expose everything and you were late to the party.
Right.
So as much as you don't want to have to go after somebody you're asking to really help your sport grow, do you really want these allegations to be true and you did nothing about it? And then what does it do for Manfred's legacy? You're already sitting on top of what happened with the Astros, which I'm sorry, Major League Baseball does not look good with the handling of that because none of the players were punished by it. So maybe he ended up doing the right thing and punishing the GM and the owner and all that, but it still didn't look good PR-wise. And to have this happen and you're sitting on your hands, it's as much as it stinks for them, they've got to get out in front of this.
And, you know, one person that, you know, or one group of people that we have not really jumped on, and they deserve being jumped on, Ohtani has representatives, agents, a whole company. They're not keeping an eye on all this for him? They're not vetting Ipe? I mean, what are they doing? They're supposed to be protecting your backside. Well, what are they doing?
Yeah. It's that is very strange, man.
Unless he was just so committed to him that it just made him untouchable. No, listen, I got it. I'm good. Do not bother with him. I've got it under control. He's my guy. Leave him alone. I mean, Ohtani runs the show, right? He didn't really.
I look like Ippy runs the show.
Well, I mean, again, warning: we don't know.
But still, in Ohtani's camp, where you know, if you uttered any words about him visiting with you, you were supposed to be out.
They're right. Deathly afraid of him.
You know, so I'm sure all these agents, all these handlers, are one cross word away from being out. This is the problem when you're the cash cow for so many different people.
I found out today that after this broken soul, right, all they wanted to do, the assembled media, they wanted to ask Ohtani, have you bet on baseball? These are aggressive reporters, not just L.A. Dodger reporters, national reporters that were covering those two games in South Korea.
Didn't love
it. And they got strong-armed out of the way. They couldn't even get near him by Dodger people. They wouldn't let him near. This guy ran the show with the Angels. And you know why they let him run the show? Because Don said, cash cow to everybody, cash cow to the Angels. They let him set his own agenda. He didn't have to meet the media. So the media tried to shout these questions at him, and he wouldn't. The Dodgers wouldn't allow it.
Well, just like today, just like I said, how we don't know how things are going to play out, they're going to hang on for as long as they can, but it's going to totally change for the Dodgers too. And how they're capable of handling it is going to change.
Right.
And I was saying to Don earlier, Michael, this story could be big enough. You're not just talking about John Heyman and Jeff Passan. This could be getting journalists who are outside of baseball.
Absolutely.
There's going to be such a tension. No one has any idea what's going to happen here.
And if this guy's going to completely shut himself down, then how much bang for the buck are you going to get if you're Major League Baseball? Yeah, he's a great story, and eventually when he recovers from his Tommy John, he's going to be a great pitcher. We know he's a great hitter. But if he's not going to talk to the media, if there's only so many things he's going to do, if he's going to be standoffish, now then what benefit do you really get from him?
Well, obviously he's a super popular guy around the world. You get great baseball, and you get an infusion of cash from Japan.
I'll play devil's advocate in the sense that as horrible as a story as this appears to be, at this moment when there's so much going on in sports and we're heading into baseball next week, is it the worst thing in the world that everybody's talking about a baseball story?
It's the worst thing in the world the way it turns out. If he's clean.
Depending how it turns out.
If he's clean, yeah. If they're talking about it, it's great. If it finds out that he bet on baseball and he's gone forever,
then it's
worst.
Absolutely. But if it turns out the guy he was working with was a degenerate gambler and he was a loyal friend, I think it ends up being a lot of noise and not a lot of not a lot of fire for the smoke.
Somebody came up to me in the Yankee clubhouse today and said, you know the one thing that Pete Rose was missing? I said, what? A best friend to take the fall.
Hmm.
That's a great point. It could be that, too. It
Could be that too. Let's go back to the New York Knickerbocker, shall we?
Can I say one more thing, Peter?
Why not?
It was a Dodger-centric site that played a clip of me and Don talking yesterday and said that Michael Kay was unhinged.
Yeah.
Unhinged. They've never heard Don, the Ed. I wasn't unhinged at all.
No.
It shows you that if you're a sports fan, you see through the prism of your team. You can't open your mind at all that this is a huge. And I don't even understand why Dodger fans are going to, fall on the sword for this guy. He's been a Dodger for a month.
Yeah, but he gives them a great chance to win. But I looked at the comments, and overwhelmingly they sided with you, Michael, because he did. Whoever worked this Twitter handle just came across as like just a sick Dodger fan. First of all, it wasn't a rant. You said if a million times. It's something obviously to talk about. So you could be a Dodger person thinking that, Michael was hating on Ohtani. If you listen to the whole thing, which people did, they sided with you. And this was just, talk about unhinged, and just an unhinged Dodger fan that was going to throw support to his guy.
Let's go to the New York Knicks for a second.
Why don't we do that?
Bing bong! 3-1 on the road trip. Tough loss last night to Denver, but that's to be expected. Let's hear from Tibbs on finishing the road trip 3-1.
This game ends, and then you're challenged in a different way getting back, and we got an early start next game against Brooklyn. But just keep focusing on one day at a time. Put everything you have into it. Get a look at the game today. Fix our mistakes. Get ready for the next one. But the fight has been great. The togetherness has been great. I think we're functioning well as a team. I had 29 assists. We were low turnover. But when our defense, when we're flying around, we're creating turnovers, and, that wasn't there. But give them credit. I thought Porter played a great game for them. Murray played a great game. Gordon poses a lot of problems on the baseline. It's a team that is very well put together, and they play together. They play smart. They're going to make you pay for mistakes.
What I love about this Knicks team?
What's
they
that?
Play hard every game.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if they're, it's the second. They actually have a really good record, second game of back-to-back. He has them playing their backsides off.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a combination of he has them playing that way, and that's the group of guys they have.
Yep.
Yeah.
They got the right people for that.
That's who Josh Hart is. That's who Jalen Brunson is. It's absolutely when they have Randall, what Randall is. Clearly, it's what Anunoby is. It's sort of the metal of this team, Hartenstein.
And they need to finish as high as they can. I think they realize that, too. Now, the schedule makers didn't do them any favors. Having a game in Denver Thursday night, which I'm sure they flew home after the game, got home really early this morning, just to the time difference, and then they got a game, what is it, the 1 o'clock tomorrow at the Garden?
1 o'clock.
So that's kind of almost back-to-backs, right, Michael? I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's the west-to-east flight just, it saps you.
Because what time, because that's a 9 o'clock tip, our time.
So it ends, let's say they get out of the arena at 12:30, get to the airport at 1:30, take off at like 2,
yeah,
and it's about a 5-hour flight, 4-hour flight. Getting home at 6, 7, getting their beds at 8. I hope they didn't practice today.
No, I'm sure they didn't practice. So the whole day is basically sleeping, just to get up early tomorrow. Now, I know it's the Nets and it's at home, but and it's always, no OG. It's always tough that first home game after a Western swing, kind of a short turnaround. I'm interested to see, what is the number on that, Anthony?
I will have to look at ESPN Bet. I want to ask both of you guys,
Please.
You ever had a sound, satisfying sleep on a plane? Because I've never had it.
Nope.
Even with a sleeper,
ever doze off.
A sleeper, thing. I can't do it, Peter. I don't know how you do it.
With the Brazil, when we splurged on
right.
the nice bed situation.
You were able to sleep.
Satisfying relative to a comfortable bed at home? No. Mm-hmm. But out for 6-7 hours? Yeah, I did that.
Wow. God God.
You.
God bless you.
That's why I don't take West Coast swings. It wears me out.
Is it on the would you be on the team plane or
team plane is just first class seats. There's no beds.
No, you're not in a pod.
Yeah, like the pod when I go to England or something.
The bad thing for me was last February when I went to Vancouver. So I had to do the show from the arena, so the 3-hour time difference, so it was noon. So I tried to get what sleep I could, but, I didn't get, where I could sleep till, 4 in the afternoon. And I had a red eye back on JetBlue. Now, JetBlue doesn't offer, first class. You can get some leg room, be close to the front of the plane, but you don't have, your traditional first class. And I'm like, I got to get some sleep. It's the Orioles. And I had to come home, and then I was going to do the show. It was like a, it was the Thursday like show. So I'm like desperately. It's like a 6 hour flight back, maybe five and a half. I got to get some sleep. I just couldn't. And then once it's in your head, you got to fall asleep. Then you can't fall asleep.
Oh, then you're lost. I mean,
so then I gave up and I watched Apocalypse Now. The
longest flight I ever was on, longest flight ever was to Japan. So it's 18 hours.
Mm.
And I'm walking. I mean, I couldn't sleep a wink. And I'm watching. The players are snoring. Other people. I'm going, why can't I sleep on a plane? It was brutal.
So good for you, Peter.
Thank you. No, I generally
now was that that drug induced sleep, Peter? Like, did you take a pill?
No, but you know what I will do. I will in those like situations is have you know, they're free beverages. So I'll have an adult beverage or two, and then I start throwing a movie, and then I kind of start getting comfy, and then of course the food comes out, right? Then you got to have your meal. And then after that, I just kind of let the bed go out. But even when I'm sitting in coach, I can like lean up against the window and knock out pretty good. Now
you're a lucky man.
Now doing that on a 5-6 hour flight is a nightmare. I hate it. But these are first world problems.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's go to more first world problems. Kentucky, they have been eliminated by the great. What's the mascot of Oakland? Anyone?
The A's.
Right. The Oakland Athletics knocked off Kentucky yesterday in the tournament. And let's hear from
Coach
Cal.
They're Golden Grizzlies. They're Golden Grizzlies.
Golden Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Coach Cal on the missed opportunity.
We made some critical mistakes at critical times again today. I mean, we had our chances. As good as they played and as many shots as they made, we still had our chances, and both on defense and offense. And when you have a really young team and you look at where did the mistakes come from, they were freshmen. They had performed on the road in hostile environments that I didn't expect some of the stuff today.
I'll tell you what, I've covered games down in Lexington. I've been in Rupp Arena. They've got to be running out of patience with Calipari. Well, they just have to. And the excuse that I keep hearing, it's a young team. Every team in the NCAA essentially is young.
Especially for Calipari. I mean, he's definitely using one and done, so it's always going to be a young team.
That's all the sport is now. The best players in the sport are one and done.
Well, exactly. So for all the big programs, at least, right? So you got to figure out how to do it.
And that's the advantage that a team like Oakland has, Peter.
Right. Because
that's a school that keeps guys for 2 or 3 years.
Maybe four. Here's Calipari on how the game has changed.
This thing here, it's a different animal. We've been able to help so many kids and win so many games and Final Fours, national titles and all this stuff, win league championships with young guys. It's changed on us. It's all of a sudden it's gotten really old. So we're playing teams that our average age is 19. Their average age is 24 and 25. So do I change because of that?
I'm going to push back on average age is 24 and 25.
Stop. I like Calipari. I think he's a tremendous coach. Great salesman.
And the kid who hit 10 threes yesterday is 24 years old. But let's calm down.
I just wonder at this stage, he's accomplished so much on the college level, and nothing's going to change here. Would he try to go back to the NBA? He had some success with the Nets, not a lot. He's already accomplished what he needs to accomplish here. As you said, Kentucky's going to run out of patience with him. Does he look like he's – if he bolts going out early, does it look like he failed? But I'm just wondering if he's just better suited now to just go back
since
to the NBA.
Since 2021, he's 2-6 in the postseason.
That's tough. Jay Wright, on the same subject, the era of young freshmen and trying to play older players, it's over, right, Jay?
The era of taking these young freshmen and trying to play against older players is over. I think he did a phenomenal job with these guys all year, getting them to be as successful as they were. You can see they're playing against grown men. The guys on Kentucky will be far better pros than any of these guys on Oakland or any of these guys in the tournament, but they're not as good college basketball players. It's a, at this point in their career, they're not as disciplined yet as the guys from Oakland. And it's not Cal's fault. It's they're 18 years old, and they're in this era where everyone's telling them how great they are. Just show up in college and you're going to win. It doesn't happen that way. And the more the guys stay in college because of NIL, it's going to be tougher for young teams like this to be successful.
Now, we talked about this earlier. Connecticut, not shockingly, rolled today, to put it mildly. They did Connecticut things. however, at halftime, when they were up 52-19 against Stetson, they ended up winning by 39 points. Dan Hurley was not satisfied.
Coach, you're shaking your head. What's wrong?
Everything should be automatic this time of year, and just, you know, defensively, it's human nature, I guess, but just to throttle down like that late, that's not championship level.
Well, what will be the sticking point in the locker room when you have a lead like this?
In this tournament, if you don't keep everything at the absolute highest level, like automatic, every possession, things go bad for you in this tournament. So, yeah, we got to grow up a little bit. The last couple of minutes I didn't like.
His foot is always on the accelerator.
Yeah. It could be a bit much, though, but you don't have these players that long anyway, so you don't have to worry about burning them out.
Guys,
yeah,
it's time.
There you go.
Yeah.
March Madness means drop madness. And we start out in the Flub region where the two seed advances.
20 years ago today, Yankee related.
So 20 years ago today. So that is 2014.
Now here's something interesting. That Flub drop right there, that matchup, Michael, over 5,000 views. I thought over 5,000 votes, and I was very excited. Not remotely over 5,000 votes. But the two seed advances. We go to the 7-10 matchup, and the 7 seed advances.
Iris Juradu.
Spell last name?
J-U-R-A-D-O. Juradu.
Jurado.
All right, there you go.
It's that Ecuadorian.
Well, listen, I don't know.
That's his best buddy correcting him.
I know. That's why you got to love it. We head to the funny region where the two seed advances.
He's not cool. His voice is weird. He's kind of a dork. His brother's a tool. His girlfriend's annoying.
That has legs, baby.
75-25 for Peter Mahomes. We also stay in the funny region where the 7 seed just smokes the 10.
Screw. Go scratch yourself.
I mean, Michael, I'll tell you what.
That's got legs.
It's got yelling. It's got bizarre Don slang. Screw and go scratch yourself. And like a
and it's
really,
got Don.
And it's got, no, it's got more than that. It's got thick Jersey accent, Don. It's there's a lot there. We go to the troubling region where the 2 seed cruises.
With a perfect read. Nails every read.
Oh, my God. He just punched the computer hard.
I actually prefer the 15 seed, but it is what it is. We go to the troubling region, the 7-10 matchup, the 7 seed advance.
Speaking of a scroll, I'm trying to get a nut.
Easier, right?
I got a mouthful of nuts right now.
On some kind of party.
In the nether region, the 2 seed advances.
That's not true.
No, it is true. 64-36 for 45. And lastly, I'm very sad to say, Kenny Albert eliminated in the first round. This is a bad job. The 10 seed advances.
Nature called and I had to go take a dump. Guess what? I got to get on my bike and go.
No, that was the correct.
Yeah, that Kenny
I know, but Kenny's, oh no, I totally disagree. Kenny's piano was phenomenal. That'll do it for ENN, brought to you by Security Dodge. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com during their Dodge Power Shot Days Jeep Celebration event and Ram Truck Month.
What a week it's been. It's been a delight. It really has.
It's been
unbelievable.
We've done it all.
Thanks.
Now, Don, you doing play-by-play this weekend?
That's right. Tomorrow against Florida at the Garden.
Oh, I love it. Have a great weekend, 7. Everybody. And Daniel Craig will take us out.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.